It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Back here on 96.5 The Fan, Dusty Likens with you, Bob Fesco. Don't forget, you can check us out on the live stream, YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, Twitter, X, whatever the hell you want to call it. I don't care. Happy Tuesday. I don't want to skip Bob's favorite day of the week. Happy Tuesday. Taco Tuesday, Toe Tuesday, whatever the heck goes on at the Fesco household. It's a great day. Mac Morey with you as well. Who do you think this town hates more, Buffalo or Cincinnati?
I hate Cincinnati more.
Bias. I mean, do you think Cincinnati's been more relevant because they talk a bunch of garbage, or do you think they've been the better team?
They have not been the better team, but they do talk more garbage, and they actually beat us when it mattered. I'll tell you, this Buffalo team has won the last three regular season games.
That's right.
The Chiefs have won the last three postseason games. The regular season games don't matter. It's the postseason games that do matter, and the Chiefs have had Buffalo's number when it matters the most. Now, Cincinnati, I know it's been kind of ancient history now since the Bengals came in here, but it's still the only quarterback that's left in NFL history right now, besides Tom Brady, who's on TV and owning a football team, that's been able to beat Patrick Mahomes in the postseason. So for me, it'll be Cincinnati. I don't like the Cincinnati Bengal fans. My friend Jimmy Gaffney, local celebrity, is a big Bills fan. I like him a lot. And so, you know, there are just certain things that weigh in. And after going to the Chiefs-Bengals game and having guys talk smack to my 14-year-old daughter, I'm out on Cincinnati.
Daniel's got to see the Bulldog. I think I know the answer. I think it's one of those, like, torn fandoms. It's kind of, like, similar to the same thing when you ask, who do you hate more, Denver, the Raiders, or the Chargers? You'll have your reasons why, right? Like, Denver, you don't hate because, well, at least I hate them because my entire childhood, they just beat us. Like, right. I just didn't like them. John Elway, Neil Smith went over there. The Rat, Shanahan, I never liked seeing him over there. And then, you know, the Raiders just weren't really relevant in my life.
They really weren't. So it's hard to hate a team that hasn't been really relevant.
And then the Chargers I hated because LaDainian Tomlinson would go on to take over Priest Holmes' touchdown record.
He did do that, and that did suck.
And then, like, literally, like, the year later.
Yeah.
And then
wasn't Sean Alexander in that mix for a while, too?
Oh, yeah. Those were 90s running backs there. And then Phillip Rivers comes along. But it was more so, like, I didn't like them because they were annoying. And I think Cincy is that sort of aspect. And to me, they remind me of the kid maybe on the playground or, like, you know, in the gym or something like that, that just doesn't shut his mouth because he knows that it's a big flex for them to do that, because they know that that sort of thing. And I think we all have this in our friend group. Excuse me. We all have this in our friend group, or, you know, somewhere around when we grew up or something. There was always that kid that was good, but wasn't as good as everybody else. But for some reason, the way that he was able to push buttons was effective.
Yeah, sure.
And that's Cincinnati, right?
Yes. Yes. They are a button pusher. There's no doubt about it. Yes.
They know how to say it, what to say. And the other thing they have is the one piece of clout that they can hold on to is that they are one of only three people to have done it to the Chiefs when it mattered. Tom Brady beat them with the Patriots, Tom Brady beat them with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Joe Burrow and Cincinnati beat the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes again, 15-3 in the playoffs.
Do you count Tom Brady and the Patriots and the Bucs as two different people?
Correct.
Okay.
I mean, that's just, yeah, it is what it is.
It is what
right?
it is, right, yes.
And so those three teams, I guess you could say, or those three different instances, Cincinnati has that. So when the Chiefs or, you know, the kid on the playground loses the one-on-one game, but normally 9 out of 10 times wins, that kid will always be like, yeah, well, I still beat you. You can't.
Right.
And it gets in your head.
Yeah, it does.
Buffalo, to me, should be the team that you don't like because they're the closest thing to you.
Right.
Right? They play good defense.
Mm-hmm.
I think their quarterback is the next best quarterback in the league. If Patrick Mahomes is in the penthouse suite by himself, I think the next floor down is empty. I don't think there's anybody in that room.
Yeah.
Then I think it's Josh Allen, Burrow, and you know that room is filled with those guys. Maybe Herbert gets the conversation the way he's played this year.
I think I would go with Burrow though in that group.
I wouldn't.
It's a tough question. I never really thought about who would be second best, but to me, Joe Burrow has just got that killer instinct.
Joe Burrow on Buffalo. Is he just as good as Josh Allen?
How are you utilizing him, though? Because Josh Allen and Joe Burrow, I think, are different because they rely so much on Josh's legs, right?
Yeah.
They don't really rely on Joe Burrow's legs a lot in Cincinnati. The big part of that game in Buffalo is Josh Allen running the football. So yeah. I don't know the answer to that question because there's two different styles of quarterbacks.
I just think Josh Allen is, if I were to go to a video game and make a quarterback, Josh Allen would be the quarterback that I would mold.
Well, he's got
speed, he's big, he's strong. Massive arm,
right.
Good football IQ. Like, Burrow's got a good arm. It ain't Allen's. Burrow's got good, he doesn't have good wheels. Josh Allen does.
Sure.
Josh Allen's big. He's that guy.
But Burrow has that it factor that Patrick Mahomes has, and I think that is something to me that supersedes everything else. Like, you can be great as an athlete, right?
Yeah.
And do great things as an athlete. But if you don't have that it factor and the ability to win when it matters the most, like, that's why I always go back to Derek Jeter. Not the best athlete, not the best shortstop on his team, but by God, that dude knew how to win.
And to be fair, the one time Burrow beat Mahomes in the playoffs, Mahomes fell down two pegs of his normal self, whereas Josh Allen against Mahomes has been good. Like, if you look at that game last year, Josh Allen's good. The one that was 13 seconds, Josh Allen's greatest game he's ever had.
Probably.
Lived up to that. It's just, unfortunately, like, Josh Allen has always gotten Mahomes' best, and that's unfortunate for him because that's why Patrick Mahomes is that much better.
But Buffalo always looks at this game as their Super Bowl, right? And this is a big game for the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I don't know if they're doing that anymore.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
Okay,
I think they're a little bit more mature than Cincinnati. Cincinnati, yes.
Yeah.
Buffalo, I think Buffalo knows the deal because, like I said, Buffalo's been hurt so much in the playoffs by the Chiefs.
Oh, God,
they
yes.
know what the goal is. Like, they've done enough. Like you said, three regular season wins in a row. It's gotten them nothing.
Nothing.
They get their first home game against the Chiefs last year.
Beat them.
They lose. But I also kind of think, I think we all kind of like Josh Allen, too, which kind of patches it up a little bit better with Buffalo instead of Cincinnati. So I would say the majority of the league or of the fan base would say they hate Cincinnati more than they hate Buffalo, because I think that they at least respect Buffalo because Buffalo's quiet. They've beaten you the last 3 years. And maybe some people didn't even know that until you said it, because Buffalo doesn't flaunt it. They know what matters is the playoffs. Cincinnati's done it once, and they act like it happened yesterday.
Yeah, they
to this day, and it happened 3 years ago.
And the Chiefs have beaten them three times since the Bengals beat them. But I also look at Buffalo and Kansas City kind of in the same lens, right? Like, Buffalo is that city that hadn't won a championship in 1,000 years. We hadn't won a championship in 1,000 years. Finally got our championship. Our fan bases are very similar. We love to party and tailgate and jump through fire and all that kind of stuff, right? Like, so I think the fan bases are a lot more similar in Buffalo in Kansas City than we are in Cincinnati. I don't look at either fan base as fighting a war with each other. The Bengal fans come here, it's a war. Like, you want to fight the Bengal fans. I don't want to really fight Buffalo fans, but Bengal fans, I'm ready to go toe-to-toe with, because they don't know that they're still below the Kansas City Chiefs, right? They don't know that they're underneath the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, they think that they've arrived, and they haven't arrived, but they believe that they've arrived.
Right.
Buffalo fans kind of walk around and respect Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And Kansas City, I think, respects Buffalo. And there's something to be said about that. Like, you can have a rivalry, and the best rivalries are at the end where you look at that other fan and go, hell of a game, you shake hands and you
move
on,
Buffalo,
right? And you do that with Buffalo.
Yes.
You don't do that with Cincinnati. You don't do that with Missouri.
Well, I think deep down you look at the Bills fans and you go, yeah, there's only one guy who's even sniffing number 15. That's number 17. That's Josh Allen. It's just simple as that.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow's never thrown a touchdown pass in the fourth quarter of a playoff game, ever. And it's not that his team hasn't needed it. They have. He's lost multiple playoff games and he has not been able to get it done. That never happens with Josh Allen. I would say also, you talk about fans kind of knowing their place.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the case with Bills fans more than it is with Cincinnati fans. They know that the Chiefs are the Mecca and that they're going to have to win to overtake that place. And the Bengals, talk about an overrated team. I mean, that Super Bowl run, they barely beat a Ryan Tannehill-led Tennessee Titans who threw three interceptions.
Then they beat the Raiders, didn't they,
They
or something?
Barely beat the Derek Carr Raiders that came down to a bad no-call at the end.
But they did.
Yeah, and then Mahomes has his worst,
Chiefs barely
collapse.
Beat the Broncos the other day.
But playoffs, just very rarely does it happen three times in a row where you just see a team kind of get lucky. I think the Bengals, by far.
And then what's the little stat you put in there?
Oh, yeah, this game will mark just the fifth game since the 1970 merger featuring two teams with eight or more wins prior to Week 11.
What?
I know.
That's nuts.
Isn't that weird?
I can't believe there's been five games. Fifth game since 1970 merger featuring two teams with eight wins.
Seems
prior.
So low.
That's great. I know. I think it's more.
Right? I would have taken the over, question, in something like that, right?
I mean, that's tough to have two teams with only, one, maybe two losses playing each other
this
in Week 11? Week 11?
But also, too, Dusty, you and I were talking in the break. We're talking about teams with three wins in the middle of November, and people are saying they're still alive for the playoffs. Yes, Jets and Dolphins.
Yeah. We'll bring up a question on the other side. Plus, we'll get back into Bob's stadium update. If you missed it, he'll give you another update. And Dayton Hughes in about 10 minutes. So stick here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Right back here on 96.5 The Fan, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens with you. To give you relevance of that stat we referenced just on the other side, this game will mark just the fifth time since 1970's merger featuring two teams with eight-plus wins prior to Week 11. So, of course, I find the tweet that Mac found it at. 2013, Chiefs-Broncos. 2018.
I remember that game.
Mm-hmm. 2018, Chiefs-Rams.
I remember that game.
2024. You'll remember this one, Chiefs Bills.
I remember that game as well. So four of the five since 1970 are Andy Reid Chiefs teams.
Oh yeah,
this will be the
third of the fifth. The other two were 1978 Steelers Rams, 77 Colts Broncos, and the other ones were 13 Chiefs Broncos, which that's Andy.
Yep.
18 Chiefs Rams, Andy. That's Andy, and then 2024 Chiefs Bills.
So three of the. Yeah, is this the sixth one or the fifth
this
one?
This is the fifth one.
This is the fifth one. Uh-huh. That's
so
wild.
Three of the five.
Three-fifths of them are Andy Reid coach Chiefs teams, right?
That 18 Chiefs-Rams game, that was the 54-51, one of the greatest games you'll ever watch in football.
It was fantastic. I mean, I know we came out on the losing end of that thing, but if you weren't entertained by that game, I don't know what you're looking for, because that was outstanding. And then that one up in Denver, that was a big one, because that was the first year of Andy Reid. They started 9-0. It was a place we could never win, and I'll never forget going to Denver and being there for that game, and it was Peyton Manning would get the ball out so fast before Tomba would even be able to get off the line of scrimmage, and that's how they beat the Chiefs that day. They were smart. They outcoached the Chiefs in that football game, and I had Peyton Manning as well, and we had Alex Smith, but still, I mean, they were 9-0 at that point in time, and I thought that was going to be the time we finally broke through. Happened a couple of years later with a left-handed pass, take care of business.
Chiefs Blitz on Twitter mentioned you last night.
Oh, yeah.
It says there will be some developments tomorrow morning regarding the Chiefs' future in Jackson County. We could be finding out if the organization is relocating across state lines per at Bob Fesco. So per at Bob Fesco, the floor is yours.
Thank you, per at Dusty Likens. I appreciate it. Follow Dusty. Mac's trying to get 1,000 Twitter followers. You can follow him at Tennessee Lightning on Twitter.
That's his stripper name.
Oh, is that your... I wasn't supposed to say that.
Here
comes the bolt.
We talked about it the other night. I thought you said it was okay to go with that.
Jeez, dude. I wasn't ready to launch that.
Such a growing boy.
It's going to hard launch it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I had a couple of conversations over the last few days with a few sources on this, and here's what I'm hearing right now about the stadium. Again, I'm just the messenger. You want to take it however you want to take it. I don't care.
Don't shoot the messenger.
Right, exactly. Because I know people oh my God, people freak out about this
sources.
Kind of stuff. Right, yeah. The Royals are, from what I'm told, are in real and advanced discussions with the state of Kansas to potentially build their new stadium in Johnson County. And what we're looking at, I've heard two sites, specific sites. I've heard there may be a third site in Johnson County. I don't know potentially where that is. But the two sites that I'm hearing a lot about now, and the chatter is loud. The first one, 119th and Knoll, your street that you've been dying to live on for the last 10 years.
Cheese blanket.
Oh, it is. Yeah, Knoll will wrap you up and treat you well, right? So 119th and Knoll on the old Sprint campus there. And why that spot is intriguing for a number of reasons. Number one, Johnson County County is where the season ticket base is. 55% of the season ticket holders are in Johnson County, Kansas. So you go out to where your people are. Number two, it's a big swatch of land right there at 119th and all that really has not been developed. You have, you know, some stuff that's going in right there right now. You have the J that is right there, and then you have the old Sprint campus. And so there's that corner at 119th and Nall, which would be, if I'm looking at it, the northwest corner of that intersection. There's a lot of land in there, right? And Aspira, Spira, whoever the hell it is that owns the Sprint campus now, I can't pronounce their name properly, obviously, they're looking to peel off. They've already sold some of the outlying land around that, and there is some development going on further north, like at 116th and Nall, just on the other side of the property line from the J. I think they're building some apartment complexes. I'm told there's going to be some kind of race thing going on, and the new apartment complexes are going to have pickleball on the roof and all kinds of crazy stuff.
What if it goes off the roof?
Well, then you go chase it, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how that works. But maybe they put up a net. I never thought about that. I'm like, hey, you may be right about that. I don't know. Hey, throw my ball up.
Toss it up, kid.
Yeah, right.
Like, it's hard. It's got holes in it.
I remember climbing on the roof as a kid at the school to get our balls off, right? Yeah. You know, we had to go up to the roof and get our balls off the roof and whatnot. And, you know, we did what we
did
had to
climb to the roof like Leo Chenault on the parade bus?
Because they had, like, you know, like you take like railroad tie pillars.
Sure.
And then there was the big walk-in freezer that had this little hose that hung out because it dripped, you know. And so you would prop yourself up, get on top of the cooler, and then you'd find yourself on top of the roof. It was pretty simple.
We used to try to kick home runs on the roof of kickball.
Yeah.
And then the teachers made a rule that it's an automatic out. So then we just stopped.
Then you stopped doing it, which is smart by the teachers.
Janitor John had to go up there and get the ball.
So Janitor Chet had to go up there, and he didn't like that so much. So anyway, so we figured out it because we play there on the weekends. School was across the street. It was where he played all the time. So if the ball went up on the weekend, you're like, okay, I got to figure out a way to get up there. You figured it out, right?
So stadium location one, 119th and
all. Yeah, 119th and all. And the interesting part about that is it's obviously it's got development there already, but there's enough area to be developed. And there are five existing parking garages that I look at every day through the window of the J when I'm out there working out. I'm like, God, these parking garages haven't been used in ever, maybe. I think that Sprint campus was kind of outdated when it first opened. So you've got five parking structures that are already there. Mm-hmm. You're there by your people, if you will. Your season ticket holders, and it gives you the opportunity to kind of develop that land. I've also heard somewhere inside the 435 loop around Antioch, I know there's a lot of development kind of going on there right now, and then I've been told there may be a third location, you know, in Johnson County as well. So that's what I'm hearing on the baseball side of things. The football side of things is still kind of interesting because the Chiefs could relocate their stadium and practice facility to Wyandotte County, or they could just relocate their practice facility to Wyandotte County, which they will turn into a tourist attraction, which is what Dallas is doing, Minnesota is doing. The training facilities have become tourist attractions, hotels and restaurants, and they host the high school games and all that kind of stuff. And small college games as well are being played at these practice facilities now. They are becoming these mega kind of like development areas for a lot of NFL teams. So I think the Chiefs want in on that. They could move their stadium to Wyandotte County, or they could keep it in Missouri. The problem with Missouri right now is there's a lot of people with their hands out. The minor league baseball team in Springfield wants a new stadium. Missouri wants a new football money kicked in for their stadium. The Blues are going to want some money now, and that Cardinal Stadium's 20 years old already. So you're going to have a lot of stadiums in the state of Missouri that are going to be looking for public money as well. And so they're going to go where the best deal is. These are businessmen we're talking about, right? So if the best deal ends up being in Kansas, then everybody's going to run to the Kansas side of the state line. If the best deal ends up being in Missouri, they're going to end up in Missouri. But after having a couple of conversations beginning over the weekend and then into yesterday, it looks like they're in deep talks with Johnson County about potentially relocating that stadium for the Royals to Johnson County, Kansas.
You hear them on game days in the booth.
Quickly, they get chunky and funky with stretching the field vertically.
And Thursday nights at 6 during Players Only.
Spitfire, hot fire take.
Here's Chiefs Radio Network color analyst, Dinan Hughes, on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
That's right, Dinan Hughes, the coolest guy you'll ever see smoking a cigar, is brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefits of blue. Well, Dana, it's okay to survive in advance in the NFL, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's all about winning, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy undefeated for another week. I guess that's, is this a day or a week? Should we call it happy undefeated for another week?
Yeah.
Day.
Day.
How about that?
Sure.
Yeah.
However you want to phrase it. It is technically a weekday, too. It is Tuesday.
Yeah.
So walk us through how you took that all in, because we heard your laugh, by the way.
Your laugh was fantastic.
That's great, man. Like, it's like every week, man, you do this job and you see something different. But maybe walk us through that walk-off field goal block by Leo Chenal on Sunday against the Broncos.
So let me make clear, first and foremost, I am probably the most entertained person in the stadium. I know the energy and the emotions, the ebbs and flows of a game, but I truly, I love the game of football. I love the game of baseball even more, but I love the game of football, but I am truly entertained by the game. And the entertainment value can bring me to a height of anger when you see a team stomp on the logo or disrespect our stadium or anything like that. But then there's also the component of laughter, because I am entertained. So if something cool happens, you might get a laugh out of me. You might get a chuckle. And so just seeing the Donkeys kind of wet the bed again is very entertaining to me. So I have to laugh in the background, and Mitch is, you know, doing an outstanding job. He's the best in the business of bringing the energy. It's not manufactured. It's right off the cuff. It's not like the sayings that he has. I think some people might think, oh, he has this list of sayings written down that he's just going to read from. Everything he does is pretty much off the cuff. So when you add those two components together of actual entertainment on the field and something funny that happens, plus Mitch and his energy, that's where you generate, for me, that's where you get the chuckles behind the scene and the laughter, because I can't say anything yet because he's still doing his epic, voice of the Chiefs kind of call of the moment. So the only thing I can do is just kind of laugh. And so I get a lot of tweets, a lot of text messages from people that are entertained by my giggle in the background, which I think is kind of cool.
I think, Dana, though, when you lose the ability to still be entertained by something, that's when you need to walk away, because the Chiefs are as entertaining as it gets. And like they say, were you not entertained by what went on there on Sunday? I still don't have my voice back because that's how entertained I was on Sunday.
Yeah, I don't get it, like, with the fans or any fans that are out there. Granted, obviously, the Bronco fans would not be as entertained as we would be, but the fans that get to the level of anger,
right?
Like, I don't understand that. It's not, you know, I'm not trying to slap them in the face, because we love all the fans that support and pay money and so on, but the fans that, you know, scream expletives at players as they walk off the field or throw stuff at college kids, like you saw at Texas Tech versus Colorado. Like, how do you get to that point where it is no longer entertaining? Like, you have utilized your resources, you've worked extra jobs, you've done whatever you needed to do to be able to buy some pretty expensive tickets, and then you go to the game and the emotions that you show aren't joy or aren't happy unless everything goes right. Like, unless everything goes right and the team wins, that's the only thing that you are entertained about and you enjoy about the game. When, like, there are aspects of the game where I'm just like, this is hilarious. This is great. This is like must-see TV. I can't wait to get home to see the highlights of that specific play, regardless of how the game ends. So, like, I'm glad that I'm still in that kind of kid mode of enjoying and being entertained by sports, and hopefully I'll never get to the point of, you know, the person that throws something at the TV at home, or, you know, throws stuff on the field, or, you know, cusses players out as they walk off the field and disrespects people in their face and so on. So,
Danan, obviously the three phases of the game contribute throughout the entire season. I saw something this morning where somebody was breaking down number 54 for the Broncos on their special teams line, right? Just getting blown up every time they played against them. And it's like, you know, one week it's Spags, right? Or many weeks it's Spags. And then one week it's like, oh, man, Andy and Matt, you know, they kind of had their thing going this week on the offensive side. This week goes to It goes to Dave Tobe, man. He obviously had seen video, and they never kicked a field goal all game. So I'm here to say, hot take, you know, hot fire, spit fire. I'm here to say that if they'd have kicked a field goal at any point in the game, there's a chance it was going to get blocked. It just so happened the timing was impeccable that it was the field goal to win the game. Because, look, man, that dude got blown up by Chenal, Karloftis, and everybody that was involved. And the kick is blocked. It looked like the special teams head coach did his homework.
Absolutely. I mean, you got to give praise to Dave Tobe. I get a chance to interview him before every game.
Lucky.
And we talk about the third phase of the game. And, you know, a lot of times, and you guys have heard me speak about this, people think that because at the Pop Warner level, the high school level, even sometimes at college, that it's the cast-offs that are playing special teams, that it's the kids that are not good enough on offense or defense. Let's just put them on special teams. And that's not the case in the NFL. And the coaching job is so important from a special team standpoint, because you have to get a bunch of people, and we're talking about the NFL here, you have to get a bunch of people to buy into a phase of the game that they may not have played in 4 years, because they were studs on offense and defense in college that got them to the point of being drafted or signed to an NFL team for their prowess on offense and defense. Now, coming in, I believe I'm as good a receiver as anybody that's playing. I believe I'm as good a defensive back as anybody that's starting. I believe that I'm as good a linebacker as anybody. I just need my opportunity. But in the meantime, there has to be a coach that instills in me that this third phase that I probably never played much in my life before, that I have to have an equal contribution, equal buy-in to play in the third phase. So, yeah, you can have a bunch of athletes on the field, and we've seen teams that have had some negative plays on special teams. How did they execute that fake? How did they execute this blown up play? How did they allow this to happen against them? And yet, Dave Tobe, whether you go back to fake punts last year with Tommy Townsend, and you go back to the kickoff returns and the snuffed out fake punt when we were down by 24 to the Houston Texans in the playoffs. I mean, you go on and on throughout time, and you realize how much of a gem it is to have Dave Tobe as a special teams coach, and how he has infiltrated the entire team to make it important for a starting linebacker to understand that his position, his leverage, his effort and energy contributed to a Super Bowl win by blocking an extra point, and now contributed to this team staying undefeated by blocking a field goal. That buy-in makes Dave Tobe one of the most valuable components of this Chiefs organization.
You know, it's very reminiscent on a play like that of the ability that the Royals had in 2015 to score from first base on the looper that Hosmer had to right field. Like, you didn't do that because, well, you just got lucky. You prepared for all of that kind of stuff. And I think Dave Tobe kind of falls into that category that we saw with Rusty back in the day. Those guys were prepared. If that situation presented itself, they knew exactly what to do. And I hate to be this arrogant ass, Danan, but I will be an arrogant ass for this one. We're just better at everything than your team is, including coaching, including special teams, including draft. Like, we're better at everything than your team is better at.
And you know what? How demoralizing is that? Like, I've always talked about that on any team, you go back to the 90s, and this is what I felt when I was playing, that any team that came into Arrowhead Stadium, they were already down 7-0 before we even started the game, because of the fans, because of the atmosphere, because of that home field advantage that we had. Now you add the component of coaching. And I was watching ESPN earlier and yesterday, and now we got the start of Coach of the Year, and people are saying Mike Tomlin, and people are saying Dan Quinn. And I'm like, how in the heck does Andy Reid keep getting overlooked as a potential Coach of the Year? Like, they're not even saying his name right now, and we're the only undefeated team in the NFL. So when you add the component of we're better than you at every phase of the game, and we're undefeated, and now we're, like, there's still some slight disrespect in regards to You're still not going to acknowledge that Andy Reid, who has assembled this coaching staff, that has assembled this team, that is not just about the superstar players of Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Chris Jones, that it's about a complete team effort, which should add more flowers and garner more respect to Andy Reid for keeping this coaching staff together when I'm sure, just like some of the players, after you win two straight Super Bowls, they probably could have gone on elsewhere and maybe made some more money and maybe got a higher position, but they bought in to Andy Reid and what we're doing here and what we're trying to accomplish in history. And all of that shouldn't put him at the top of the list as Coach of the Year. To me, it's ridiculous, but it just shows that there's still more work to do for our Chiefs, and we're still going to be continue to be the best organization, the best coaching staff, the best players, and we're looking forward to this final run to get to that Super Bowl. So I just want to throw that out there. That's probably going to be my hot fire, spitfire take. You made me put it out there now on Tuesday morning. Now I got to figure out something else for players only on Thursday. But there Andy Reid, the disrespect is ridiculous.
It is, man. That's why I put $5 on him on September 4th to win Coach of the Year for a $255 payout. Let's go.
There you go.
Danny, to give to put a smile on your face, the leaders in the locker room right now going for Coach of the Year, Mike Tomlin and Andy Reid, both at the top at plus 400, Dan Campbell at plus 450 right behind him. So Vegas has given him some sort of a shot. Maybe they'll get some recognition and give him his second honor since first one since 2007. Danon, players only, Thursday night, right? 6 o'clock?
Yes, sir. We'll be back in the booth and hanging out, having some fun. I'm not sure who's going to be my guest, if there'll be a guest, but we've been living pretty strongly the last couple of weeks with no guests, but we were getting some really, really strong text messages and callers, so we might have to live that way too. So nevertheless, it'll be a fun night. So yes, players only Thursday night, 6 to 7 p.m.
All right, man. Enjoy the classic, the Josh Allen versus Patrick Mahomes show on Sunday at 3:25.
Yeah, it should be a blast.
Danon Hughes there, brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefits of blue. Coming up on the other side, it's an end of an era and what it means to us as we go down memory lane and where Mac loves to spend his birthdays. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. This is 96.5 The Fan. Mac Morey as well on your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Yeah, this guy sucks. Who is this guy again? Carlton from Applebee's. What was this guy's name?
I don't know.
All the Joco house moms were dancing at halftime of the game, and then we ended up losing to the Bengals. It was the Applebee's guy's fault.
I don't know, but he makes me want an Oreo shake from Applebee's. That used to be the staple. I can tell you every day of my life what my order was at Applebee's.
What
back
was
in the
it?
Day. Chicken strip riblet basket, fries, honey mustard, and then after I ate it all because I was a fat load, I would get a Oreo cookies and cream shake.
Those were really good.
They were so good.
I remember those.
Chick-fil-A's is really good, too. It's the closest thing to Applebee's is the Oreo shake from Chick-fil-A. So good.
Does Applebee's not have it anymore, Mac?
I think they brought it back because of the song.
Oh, yeah, did they?
Yeah, they got it back.
Okay. Yeah. Do they? Okay, I know you go there for your birthday and all, but not anymore because they're shutting them all down here in Kansas City, right?
Low-key, Applebee's used to have the best chicken strips in the game.
Applebee's used to be really good back in the day. They
it
had good
great.
Salads back in the day. It was Neighborhood Bar and Grill. It had the local high school letter jacket hanging up at the door. Like, it was a really good spot to go to. But, like, all of these chain restaurants that are shutting down, people are like, oh, my God, they're going out of business because most of them suck.
Yeah, most of them are bad.
And people like local.
And
they
like
going to local things. You know, we've advanced our palates, right?
Right.
Chili's has, like, found their niche.
Chicken crispers are extremely, extremely good.
They still come with corn on the cob?
Yes, they do. And I'll be honest with you. I have not been to Chili's in, like, 2 years.
I went a couple weeks ago when I was in Nashville. It was great.
Oh, you did? How was it? Fantastic.
Yeah, I got the triple dipper. I mean, come on, man. Yeah. You can't go wrong.
A lot of times you only go to the Chili's.
Triple dipper, Bob.
The Chili's at the airport. Like, that's the only time you hit the Chili's, right? Did you get the skillet queso at Chili's?
Course.
The skillet queso is fantastic. Their burger's great at Chili's, too.
Let's calm down on Chili's because it's a guilty pleasure of mine. Because it has one of the best buffalo chicken sandwiches I've ever had.
I'm telling you, they've got their old father, old-timer burger is really good.
And their chips and salsa, elite. Their chips and salsa is made in-house. It's made in-house. birthday, somebody's birthday, so it comes in a skillet pop. No, their buffalo chicken sandwich at Chili's is nuts, dude. Well,
they've memed themselves, too. Mm. They've become memeified, you know, going to Chili's and the baby back ribs.
Well, like they took the song to the new level.
Yeah, exactly.
Like everybody, like Chili's has done a really good job for one of those casual fast chains, if you will, of kind of staying relevant and honest to God, staying good.
Yeah.
Staying really good. They're not microwaving their steaks.
But where this comes from is America doesn't innovate anymore. Okay, well, then explain this from CNN's article of the first ever combined IHOP Applebee's restaurant in the United States will soon open in Texas.
Texas.
This is from November 7th, which was not that long ago, 5 days ago. But an Applebee's IHOP combo... I would never, but I mean,
isn't that just like a mini food court?
I mean, if I hung out in, you know, Missouri for a couple hours and then decided to run into Texas and hit up an Applebee's IHOP thing. But, you know, it seems like this is kind of like the old school, you know, collab.
Yeah.
Or like what you coin it as, like
court. It's like the original food court in the mall, right?
I don't think you probably did a whole lot of shopping at the Independence Center back in the days.
No.
But I actually worked there at Champ Sports.
Yeah.
And God, I could sell shoes, man.
I bet you could.
I really could, dude. Yeah. I was on the shoe deck every holiday. I loved it. I actually stashed a pair of Jordans for Michael Bennett, the former running back for the Chiefs. He told me he'd get me tickets. I was so excited.
Did he get you tickets?
Oh, no. Yeah.
Oh, he did.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He followed through. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Nosebleed.
Yeah, but
I basically sat where Jordan Love's mom sat.
Oh, that high up.
Yeah, dude.
What year was Michael Bennett here?
I can tell you, it's like 2007.
Oh my God.
Yeah. He goes, "Hey man, I'm not going to be around for the Friday release of the fives," and I was like, "I have a 10.5 in the back," and he's like, "Do you really?" Because I knew who he was.
Right. Because
he was my Madden running back. He had like 98 speed, was fast as all hell from Minnesota, or he played at Minnesota, then came to the Chiefs.
Right.
And he's like, "Yeah," he goes, "All right, man, if you can give me those, if you can give me those shoes, I'll get you some tickets to the Chiefs game when they play the Niners." They were playing the Niners that weekend.
Okay.
And I was like, "Oh, dude, this is my first time ever being like interacting with like an athlete." I was like, "Dude, for sure, I'll get you. I'll keep him in the corner."
Did he give you a little cash on the side too for helping him out?
Yeah. No, he came in and he bought the shoes. You'd have thought it was a drug deal because he slid the tickets underneath. I was like, "Dude, they're just tickets. Like, right. I don't know what we're doing here." But no, growing up in Blue Springs, Missouri, the Independence Center, I know there's a lot of people out there. Maybe yours was the Oak Park Mall or when you came in town here, or maybe there was something in Brooklyn and whatnot. But the Independence Center had a Applebee's in the mall.
Independence Center Applebee's was fantastic.
It hit differently. Yeah. It was in the little corner right in the introduction door. And then right next to it was the Cookie Factory.
Oh,
dude.
Wow. Dangerous.
I mean, the greatest cookies you've ever... They had a Cookie Monster cookie that was a soft chocolate chip cookie folded in half, and then they filled the middle in with blue icing and two eyeballs.
Oh.
And then they had another deal that
that's like the that's like the Cookie Monster. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Monster cookie.
Then my buddy, he always remembers you get a bucket and they would just give you like 24 soft little cookies, like chocolate chip round cookies. The cookie
that lasted
factory
to
was
the car.
Great. Oh, I mean, it was so good.
The Applebee's that was in the Blue Ridge Commons, though, was probably the best Applebee's.
Really?
Because that was the last one that was left, like, in a mall. And when they tore that in that Blue Ridge Commons there in Independence, like, the Applebee's was still standing. And everybody's like, "Where's the Applebee's going to go?" Because we used to go to Applebee's a lot. There's nothing to eat by the stadium. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is part of the reason why they may want to move to Johnson County. They're not a lot by the stadium. They've had 60 years to figure it out. So we used to always go to that Applebee's in that Blue Ridge Commons there, right there, you know, like, a couple exits down or whatever, because there was nothing to eat out there.
I mean, it was, and then across the Applebee's was a Luby's Cafe.
Oh God, Luby's.
Which I didn't know what that was, but everybody in there had, you had to at least have gray hair.
Yeah, I didn't experience Luby's until I went to Texas, and it was like, you know, I thought it was an all-you-can-eat. Boy, did I make a mistake! I got up to like $75.
Nah,
I'm like, I don't eat all this food.
But no, it was the Independence Center. Were always, I mean, you talk about great place. They had the Panda Express in the food court. They had a New York style pizza place. They had a burgers bar or a burger grill. It was called like Flamers Burgers. It was good. I don't know what it was, but every time you ordered something, that little old lady would shout out your order to where everybody in the mall knew what you got. Like, I mean,
then fatties rolling up in your.
Oh, dude, yeah, yeah. I'd go up there. And
double cheeseburgers, fry, onion ring, root beer float, and side of pie.
She was a little old. She was a little old, spry little lady.
Dusty,
and I'd go
party
there,
one.
I'd be like, yeah, can I do the? I'd be like, hey, how you doing? I was like, chicken strips, chili cheese fries, and a Coke. Chicken strip, chili cheese on the fry. And like the entire mall would hear it. And you're like, thanks.
Did they ever get your order wrong? Though?
No.
See, there you
never.
Go. That's exactly why. But I think for me, this is kind of a generational topic because of where we are in life. Because when I was a kid, the food court was not a thing in the mall. This mall called the Bridgewater Commons in Bridgewater, New Jersey opened. And oh my God, you would have thought like this was the greatest thing ever. They have a what? Like you go to one place and it's got all these restaurants. It was the Fat Kid Mecca. Like all the other malls started to do that because people wanted to hang out in the food court. Back in the day, you had an Orange Julius, you had a McDonald's, maybe you had a pizza plate. They were all scattered throughout the mall. And then they combined them all in the one area, and I could get pizza and egg rolls and hot dogs and soda and this and that. I mean, that you talk about the Fat Kid Mecca. So this whole Applebee's IHOP combo, I'm like, this is just the food court reincarnated in a smaller version, but it's really two brands I have no interest in ever eating.
Yeah. Somebody's like, Sbarro is not New York style.
No, Sbarro. That's the Michael Scott one. Yeah. I love the authentic New York style pizza.
Yeah. The cookie shop is apparently still there. I'm going to have to go check that out at some point. I haven't been in the Independence Center in so long. It just kind of went downhill. Malls all just kind of disappeared.
They all did. Malls are just not a thing anymore,
thanks,
right?
Bezos.
Yeah, right. No, it's not even that. I mean, it was like when they started to build those outdoor, like the Town Center Plaza and things like
Summit
that.
Crossing and stuff like that.
Like people got out of the actual out indoor mall and they went to the outdoor mall, and then obviously then Amazon came in and you know everybody started ordering everything online. But when we were growing up, like you went to the mall, that's where you hung out. Like you just everything was at the mall.
Oh, we used to get dropped off at the Fun Factory. Like my buddy Robert just texted me and he's like, do you remember the Fun Factory? I'm like, dude, there was a game that I played where you just shot a water gun at a target and the Barbie and Ken were on jet skis and they would come towards you.
Oh, that's fun.
It produced the most tickets.
Right.
So like your parents would shop, right? For hours, and they drop you off in the top level.
We just get left. See you later.
Which was Fun Factory, man. Yeah, original pizza. That's what it was. In the
original pizza is really good.
Oh, yeah, it was so good.
Went over the park. It's really good.
Golly, yeah.
But and I'm a pizza snob. But original pizza is really good. I will say that the mall had everything though. It had the movie theater was in the mall.
We didn't have one of those in the Abyss.
We had the movie theater like you had six. You had the inner and outer theaters. Mm-hmm. Six theaters inside the mall, and then on the outside of the mall there were the outer theater. We go to the inner, the outer. Then you had the video arcade, right?
Fun Factory kind of stuff.
And then everybody smoked in the mall too. Everybody smoked. Max probably going, what?
Ew.
People smoking indoors.
That's where I love going.
Merry-go-round.
I love going into Dillard's because it smelled like leather, perfume, and cigs. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Nana?
Now that I was just gonna say, that's like the woman of my dreams, right?
I'm like, where's Nana, man? But gosh, yeah, that man, that Applebee's was so good in the corner of that Independence Center. Cookie Factory right next to it. He just went right into the mall.
I remember when they opened the first Applebee's in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And boy, you waited hours for this thing. Wow. Hours for Applebee's. And those dollar margaritas, I think they still have them.
Dollaritas, absolutely.
Do they put any booze in those yet?
No.
No.
Bang Bang Shrimp, that was also good.
Mm.
Easy, man. Good hell. Coming up on the other side, there's a move and some things being said as Bob Fesco will revisit some Royals awards of finalists, and Bob will give you some more information on the Royals and the Chiefs and their future here on 96.5 The Fan. It is your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 96.5, Kansas City's FM sports station. 96.5 The Fan.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.